Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, the always opinionated Paris Lilly. This is Gamertag Radio.
And you're listening to episode 948 of Gamertag Radio. This is Paris. Thank you guys for joining me for this episode of Gamertag Radio. So, no Danny this week. It's just going to be me. Again, we're still just in the summer months, so there's not a lot of information out there. So, I don't expect this to be a very long episode, but we'll see what we got here. But I want to remind everyone, off the top, you can find us over at GamertagRadio.com. You can subscribe to the podcast over at Audio Boom. You obviously can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, our iHeartRadio. Believe we're on Pandora now. We're pretty much everywhere. So wherever you have your favorite podcast app, you can find Gamertag Radio and subscribe to us. And if you want to leave us any feedback, you can do it this way.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right. So, like I said, it's just me this week, and I want to start the show off with Gears of War. I almost called it Gears of War. It is just Gears 5 now. They are no longer of war. It is just Gears 5. Gears 5 went gold this week, and it also came out that they will be showing off a new Horde mode at Inside Xbox on August 19th during Gamescom, as well as opening night live. Jeff Keighley tweeted out that they will be showing off new campaign footage. I will be at Gamescom. Unfortunately, I will not be at Opening Night Live, so I won't be in a crowd when they show off this stuff, but I'm excited that this is finally happening, that they're actually going to start talking about campaign for Gears 5, because it had me a little concerned. I'd been talking about this the past couple months, that really at E3, I mean, on the big stage, they talked about escape mode, but they didn't show it. You actually had to go to like one of the showcase events to actually get hands on with it. I know Danny and Pete played it and they really liked it. I did not get that chance during E3, unfortunately. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what they're going to show for this new Horde mode. Obviously, they did the technical test, so they did off some of the actual PvP stuff. But campaign is kind of the big thing for me. I want to see what this Gears 5 story is going to be. You know, there's been talk that it's going to be the biggest campaign ever. I just want more details on it. I really do, because I'm of two minds that either Microsoft is going to go all out with Gears 5 and this is really going to be a showcase title to kind of close out the Xbox One era, or this is, all right, Gears 5, hit the checkbox, let's move on, let's get to 2020 when we can launch Scarlet and Halo Infinite. I'm really hoping it's the latter, that they're just holding on to all this information. They're just going to give it to us now here closer to launch, and then we're going to have this fully fleshed out campaign. We're going to have these compelling Horde, escape, and PvP modes that we can expect. Obviously, this is going to be a big title for them when it comes to Game Pass Ultimate, being on the PC where I'm expecting to actually play it. I'm really looking forward to seeing what the PC features of this is going to be as well. So I'm very excited for August 19th when we get more information on Gears 5. And with, like I said, me being at Gamescom, I actually already have an appointment to sit down and get more info on Gears 5. See, just call it Gears of War. I want to call it Gears of War so bad. But to get more information on Gears 5, and hopefully I'll get an interview as well. I'm not 100% sure on that, but I do know I have an appointment with Xbox to see Gears 5. So really looking forward to it, because I think this definitely has the potential to be a huge game for them. Gears 4 was good, not great. I've always contended it probably could have used another year in the oven of development time to kind of flesh it out a little bit more. But maybe now here with Gears 5, we're going to get what I was potentially expecting with Gears 4. So I'm excited to see it. I'm excited. I believe September 10th is when it's coming out. So like I said, August 19th, Gamescom, we'll get more information on that. Now, Destiny 2 Shadowkeep. you guys know I took, well, maybe you don't know, but I took a break from Destiny earlier this year, kind of when the whole season of the Joker, whatever the heck it was called, came out. This is right around the time that the Division 2 came out, because I really wanted to focus on the Division 2. I wanted to give it my full attention, really deep dive into that game, into that world, and really just understand it, its community, everything surrounding it. So I purposely took a break from Destiny 2 at the time, because like I said, I wanted to experience what is another game of the genre like, what is its community like. So that's exactly what I did. Had a great time with the Division 2. I still play it, I still love it. You guys already know how I feel about some of the issues that it is currently having and the things that they're going to need to do to resolve it. But this talk isn't about the Division 2, it's about Destiny 2. And the reason I brought up that I took a break is I've come back here in the past few weeks and started playing again. I've been doing a lot of catch up, and it's been fun because there's been a lot of content that I missed out on, and being able to jump back in it and play it has been great. So I say all that because Shadowkeep is coming on October 1st. It was delayed a couple weeks, which, hey, is a good thing. If a developer needs more time to polish a game, absolutely take the time that you need. So now Shadowkeep is coming October 1st. But this week at Bungie, they kind of laid out their roadmap for information that we're going to get leading up to that. First and foremost, we're getting cross-save. That is coming, I believe, on August 21st. And we're also going to be able to get more information about switching over on the PC side, switching over from Battle.net over to Steam as well. I'm excited for it because my plan is going to be, as far as cross-save goes, I'm going to take my PlayStation 4 save, because that is the progress that I've had going all the way back to Destiny 1. And I'm going to use that, bring that over to PC. And then obviously once Shadowkeep comes out and we migrate from BNet over to Steam, I'll be doing that as well. But I'll be jumping back on PlayStation 4. Potentially I'll jump on Xbox as well. But I'm excited for that because this is getting closer to that dream of what I wanted Destiny to be, to basically just play wherever you want. Wherever your friends are, you can go play there now. And eventually we potentially could get actual crossplay with that. But like I said, Bungie kind of laid out the roadmap here as we lead up to October 1st. And the first thing on this is Shadowkeep. If you get Shadowkeep, all the DLC, everything, we're looking at 165 gigabytes of space that you're going to need on your PC or your console. It's getting huge, folks. It's getting really big. And I know they've talked about this a little bit, but it runs into the interesting problem as they continue to add on worlds and new things. How much bigger can they make Destiny before they have to start cutting stuff off? Are we going to get into 200 gigs, 300 gigs that you have to have on there? So that's going to be a conscious decision on them. What are they going to do eventually to kind of curtail some of this? Because like I said, as it just keeps growing, I mean, the size that's going to be on your hard drive is going to grow as well. But like I said, they're going to do this roadmap. So the first thing I talked about is this director's cut coming from Luke Smith, who I believe is like the franchise director now for Destiny. That dude's career is just amazing to me. Because I've known him forever. So it's just amazing to see where he is right now. It's just leading the entire franchise for Destiny. But anyways, he tweeted about this, that he's going to have a part one and a part two where he's going to kind of talk about the last 6 months of Destiny 2. And then he's going to have a part two where that's probably going to get into more Shadowkeep and just the future of Destiny. But this part one is coming this week, where I believe he said it was 4,100 words, 8 pages or something like that. It's going to be huge, where he's really just going to talk about the last 6 months, kind of, I'm assuming, just detailing where the current state of the franchise, where it is, you know, in this part one. So I'm really looking forward to that. What they're also going to do this week, and that will be on August 14th at 10 a.m., they're going to do a live stream, I believe it's going to be on Twitch, Mixer, YouTube, where they're going to talk about armor customization, aka Armor 2.0, or as they're calling the stream, Building a Better Monster Killing Machine. I'm very excited for this because this is where I think Destiny, and I think this is just the first step into this. It's going to be a lot more, like a year from now, it's going to be way more detailed than what it's going to be here on October 1st. But Armor 2.0 is finally taking Destiny and truly making it an RPG. you know, this is the first step towards that, because now it's not going to be relying solely on what gear drops for me. It's going to be about, sure, you're going to want a certain piece of gear to drop. Maybe it has some kind of perk on it you might like. But the thing is, the gear is going to be more tailored towards the fashion show now versus actually the skills that you're going to get on the gear, because they're introducing this mod system in here to where we're going to be able to customize our gear to our playstyle. You're going to have certain builds that you're going to be able to make now depending on the encounters that you're doing, and it's going to get very intricate now. You're going to really just get in the lab now and being able to start to tinker with your gear and set it up to the way that you want to play, not so much being dictated by how the armor drops and being forced to play a certain way to clear an objective. So I'm very excited for this, because I'm telling you, this is the kind of stuff that I want to deep dive into. The Division 2 actually does some of this already, but it looks like what Bungie's doing, he's going to deep dive even more so than what the Division 2 is doing right now. So I'm, like I said, very excited for it. Also, at Gamescom, they're going to detail or have more details about Shadowkeep, which, hey, again, I'm going to be at Gamescom. So hopefully I'll get a chance to sit down with those guys and get some more information. Look, Deej, you promised me at E3 that I'm going to get an interview for Shadowkeep. So if it happens at Gamescom, great. If it does not, I'm sure we'll do something closer to launch, but I have a ton of questions about Shadowkeep and just the way cross save is going to work, the way Destiny New Light's going to work, you know, as far as all our gear, everything. I know I've been involved in some Twitter conversations the past couple of days with just some of those kind of, you know, housekeeping type questions where, okay, and I'll just take this as an example. I know this is turning to Destiny Talk Radio, but that's fine. It's solo. I have nothing else to talk about. So here we go. Where, as an example, all right, let's say I own Forsaken, I own Shadowkeep on PlayStation 4, and I'm getting exotics, I'm getting specific Forsaken and Shadowkeep gear on PlayStation 4. I now have cross save. I take that cross save, I go to Xbox. I don't own anything on Xbox, so I literally just have Destiny 2 New Light. And what New Light is, basically, they're free to play. It is literally year one of Destiny. Is what it is. You'll be able, all that content will be free to you now, and but you'll still be able to go to the new content but not do any of the actual in-game activities or get those exotics, things like that. So the point I'm making is I take all my progress from PlayStation 4, where I've gotten new gear to drop, exotics, all that stuff. I now go to Xbox, where I don't own anything. Sure, I can't do the new raid, I can't do some of the new activities, but I own that gear. Am I able to use it on Destiny 2 New Light? Am I able to use it if I'm invited to something with my friends? Am I able to use all that gear? It sounds like you will, but again, these are more things that they need to clarify. And again, I'm sure these are the answers that'll be coming on their live streams and various interviews that they'll be doing. I know if I get to sit down and do an interview with them, that's going to be one of my first questions, is clarify how cross save is going to work. What do you need to own? If you don't own it, what are you still able to do? That's basically what it's going to come down to. So, you know, I'm sure there'll be some growing pains with this. There'll be, you know, be some issues that'll have to be ironed out when all this launches on October 1st. But this is absolutely the right step that they need to do. The other thing on the roadmap is, like I said, cross save launch, which will be August 21st. I'll be in Germany when it happens. So I'll actually miss day one when this goes down. So when I come back from Germany, I'll be able to actually take my progress over to PC as well. Excuse me. They're also going to talk about how the seasons are going to change once we go into year three. They're going to have a big PvP reveal for Shadowkeep, which I'm excited for, because PvP needs a lot of TLC right now. They've really not given it the attention that it's needed over the past year. So I'm very curious to see what's going to happen with that. I'm sure we're going to get new PvP maps that will take advantage of, you know, smaller fire teams, because everything currently in Destiny 2 had been catered towards 4v4 play. We want to get away from just 4v4. I want to see more. I want to see elimination come back, 3v3. Obviously, the 6v6 stuff, we need maps that actually can cater to that. Obviously, the weapon balancing needs to happen. Maybe there'll be some new PvP modes, etc. I'm not expecting trials on October, but hopefully we'll kind of get that roadmap towards bringing trials back at some point. So very excited that they're actually going to showcase PvP, which tells me that they got some stuff under the hood that they're going to be able to show. And then finally, they're going to actually show off some of this PvP, the Crucible stuff, at PAX, which I will not be going to PAX, but excited for the people that that's going. So that should be good as well. Real excited for that. Now, that's Destiny Talk Radio. I'm going to stop talking about Destiny. So before we get into the next topic, let's take a quick break. Let's get a word from our sponsor. Let's take a minute to get a word from our sponsor, Candid. Did you know your teeth move as you get older? I didn't until I noticed mine were starting to shift and yeah, my teeth getting a little bit crooked. So I wanted to get my teeth fixed, but braces are very expensive. And that was literally the last thing I wanted to do. And then we heard about Candid, the clear alternative to braces. And I'm all in. Candid has an experienced orthodontist who is licensed in your state to create a treatment plan for you. And the way that works is you're going to fill out the information online. Candid's going to send you the kit. You're going to take the kit, you're going to take pictures, send it back, and then orthodontist contacts you, and they make a 3D preview of what your teeth will look like when the treatments are done, and they go through that whole process with you so that you're completely on board and understand how it all works. And now that you approve that 3D preview, Candid is creating custom aligners, and they send it to you directly. I'm still waiting for mine to come in. There's no hassle of going to that orthodontist office, and Candid costs 65% less than braces, so it's a lot more affordable. And for every aligner that is purchased, Candid donates $25 to SmileTrain, who brings safe, 100% free cleft lip and palate treatment to children around the globe. So GTR listeners, to get straighter, brighter teeth in an average of just 6 months, learn more at candidco.com/GTR and use our code GTR to get $75 off. That's candidco.com/GTR. Use our code GTR to get $75 off. That's Candid. All right, and we're back with Gamertag Radio. So before we get into the next topic, I actually want to give a shout over to Jeff Cannata at DLC. He invited me on the podcast. I was on the podcast the other day and it had a great time. I think we went over an hour and a half just talking about, you know, gaming news, just everything that was going on. We got into some specific topics, like one that we got into, which I'll talk about more in just a second, was No Man's Sky Beyond. We got into a big discussion about VR because, you know, as I talked on here over the years, I'm not convinced about VR at all. But Jeff is a huge advocate of VR. So he gave me his big sales pitch on VR, which was very intriguing. But, you know, being able to go on DLC with Cannata and Spicer, bucket list item for me for sure. I mean, you know, we're talking Jeff Cannata, one of the OGs in this game. We've met a few times, you know, at various events and everything. So for him to reach out and invite me to come on a podcast was a great honor. I mean, when I go back in the archives of the people that have inspired me, you know, throughout this industry to do things, Jeff is definitely at the top of that list. So again, just want to thank them for that. Probably as you guys are listening to this, that episode of DLC should be out. We'll make sure to throw out some links on social media and everything so everybody can make sure to check that out as well. Had a great time. So thank you again to Jeff for having me on DLC. So speaking of No Man's Sky Beyond, again, talk about a game that I've not given a chance at all. You know, we know the history of No Man's Sky. We know the promises that were made way back in the day at one of the, I believe it was Jeff Keighley, whatever version of the Game Awards he was doing. I know it's when he had scaled it down. They were doing like this weird live stream kind of thing. I think that was with Joel McHale was with him on that one. That was when it originally got debuted that they were coming out with this game. And obviously there was a lot of hype around it. Sean Murray was doing the talk show circuit, kind of making some huge promises to it. Then it launched and it was completely underwhelming to the people that played it. I know our good friends over at Spawn on Me, Khalif, he's been a big fan of No Man's Sky and really wanted to build a community around it. And unfortunately, just the state of the game, he wasn't able to do it. But with all that said, just over the years, the fact that, hey, matter of fact, he's even here. Right on. Spawn on Me's here. Broke the fourth wall, the Twitch chat. I see him in there. But point I'm making with No Man's Sky beyond is, you know, with all the updates that we've had over the years and the fact that Hello Games actually were able to continue to tinker with this game and make updates to it. Now we got Beyond coming out. And I tell you, I saw that trailer and I saw the Sean Murray interview on IGN and it sold me. It really did. I don't know when I'm gonna have time to do this. I got to figure it out, but I want to go play that game now. Just the co-op aspects that are now in the game, the 32 player experience that you're going to be able to have in your quote unquote session or world when you're playing, the exploration aspects, just everything that they're bringing to that game. Now it looks fantastic. It really does. I will tell anyone listening to this right now, do yourself a favor. Go watch that No Man's Sky Beyond trailer. Go check out the Sean Murray interview. Hell, go on Sean Murray's, just, I believe it's at No Man's Sky is his Twitter. Just, he's been tweeting up at Storm lately, just talking about it. He has me sold. He really does. And I'm very happy for that because I feel like now the game is reaching the potential of what it should have been from the beginning. And look, we can go back in history and, oh, we can, you know, why wasn't it like that at launch and blah, 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 blah. It is what it is. Now it's coming out. You can pick it up, the game, very cheap. I mean, so it's like, why not? Why not at least just give it a shot and see if this is something you want to check out? Definitely looking forward to No Man's Sky. Recommending that anyone listening to this right now, you know, if you're curious about it and you can find a great deal on it, pick it up, check it out yourself. If it's on PlayStation, it's on Xbox and PC, I'll most likely get the PC version myself so I can check it out. So I go from that positive thing to this. 2K, Borderlands 3, and Submotto. I'm of the mind that we don't have enough information on this. And if you're like, well, what the hell are you talking about, Paris? Basically, Submotto, he is a YouTuber, content creator. He's huge into the Borderlands community. He's made a lot of content over the years about Borderlands. He had his channel, Discord, all that, copyright strikes against him, and private investigators from 2K show up at his house because, and again, I'm just keep this short and sweet, basically him and the community, I don't know if he was doing this directly or if it was just a community giving him the information, basically it sounds like 2K and Gearbox, they were doing some private streams on Twitch. And long story short, they basically data mined through the thumbnails information about the game. And Submotto was making videos about it. He was pushing people towards his Discord channel to get more information, things like that. 2K obviously got wind of this. And like I said, a bunch of copyright strikes came against its channel to have it either temporarily shut down. I think it might even be permanently gone at this point. I can't remember exactly. But they also sent private investigators to his house to get more information. Obviously, Submotto came out with his side of the story of this, but then now 2K through IGN also made their official statement as well. And like I said, I just feel like we're missing information from both sides to where I'm very neutral on this. I don't have an opinion either way. I know some people obviously are being very strong on Submotto's side, defending him, saying, here we go, the big publisher bully, you know, striking him down, trying to silence him, you know, because he was just basically doing investigative work, you know, along the lines of something that Jason Schreier would do, right? This, he didn't steal information. This was basically things that the community found and he was reporting on it. I get that part and I defend that part because absolutely you should be able to do that. Here's where I feel like there's information missing and I just don't know how to feel about it. The fact that 2K and Discord took down his Discord channel because allegedly he was pushing people. He was basically telling people, if you subscribe to, you know, subscribe to my YouTube channel, I think it was like $5 or something like that, I'll give you access into my Discord channel where you can get more information about it. So to me, that's like you're selling information. That you knew you, that, you know, if you're investigating, you're reporting on it, great, but now you're actually making a profit off of this, right? So if that's true, and obviously Discord agreed with this because they shut down his Discord channel, that's a problem. That's a problem. It is. And again, I don't have all the facts on this. I'm just going by what I've read, what I've seen on social media. I just feel like we're missing something here. There's something that the fact that 2K went this strong after him and the fact that both YouTube and Discord took down his channels, there's more to this story. That's all I'm saying. I 100% defend his right to report on things that are public knowledge. But if you're making a profit on it, come on. And again, I don't have all the information. I don't know. So the reason I bring all this up is I know everyone is always ready to grab their torches and pitchforks, you know, to riot against the big bad publishers when they do things like this. But at the same time, the publisher does have the right to try and protect their proprietary information. If they had a private stream that was basically data mined through thumbnails, and this was information they didn't want to get out, so be it. That's on them. But if they were also using said information, because it sounds like this was a 10-month investigation and there's more things that were being leaked, I don't have the whole story. But if they strongly feel that Submoto was doing something illegal or something that he should not have been doing, especially for profit, absolutely they got a right to go after him. They do. And I know a lot of people aren't going to agree with that, and they're probably mad at me for saying it, but it is the truth. But like I said, there is absolutely more to this story that we're not getting. So I would tell everyone that's upset right now and making all these videos and making 2K be the bad guy and that, you know, Submoto is a victim. There's a gray area there on both sides. That's all I'm saying. I do think both sides have something to blame in this. And I'm sure as we get closer to the launch of Borderlands 3, more information is going to come out, which then brings me to the point of Borderlands 3. You know, it's unfortunate that we got this, because that's how I found it. What the hell is this hashtag boycott Borderlands 3? What happened now? You know, what's going on? Who did something wrong now? And then to find out what this is really about is like instantly we want to boycott a game. I mean, the people over at Gearbox is making this game. They're just trying to make the most kick-ass game they possibly can. Why should they be the ones that suffer from something like that, that potentially is happening between a publisher and this content creator? I would say this, and this is my opinion on anything. If you love Borderlands and you want to play Borderlands, go play Borderlands. Take the politics and the nonsense of this out of the equation, because at the end of the day, is it affecting you? Probably not, you know? And if you enjoy that game, you want to go play it, go pick it up. Epic Store be damned. Play it on console, damn, doesn't matter. Just go play the game if you enjoy the game. That's the way I look at all this stuff, man. If it isn't affecting me personally, and it's not like obviously some crisis that's going on that's hurting other people, if it's not hurting anyone, go enjoy the game. And that, you know, again, the talk that we've had about the Epic Store, again, as an example, the Epic Store doesn't hurt me. You know, you have a choice. Go play what the hell you want. Right? If there's a game that's only on the Epic Store and I gotta play it on PC, I'm gonna go to the Epic Store and I'm gonna go play it. So I don't get into all the politics of that stuff. Excuse me. Because at the end of the day, we're all gamers and we just want to enjoy games. So I'm not going to stress myself out over stuff like that. But this whole thing with 2K, Borderlands 3, and Submoto, I'm telling you, more information is gonna come out of this. It just is. So I would just tell people, let's hold back the outrage just a little bit longer. There's going to be more details on this. So final thing for me on this episode is Death Stranding. And that's another game that I don't know what the hell Death Stranding is. I just don't. But it's interesting because Kojima is going to be at Gamescom. We're obviously going to get more information on it at Gamescom. We know the game is coming out in November. But the interesting thing is it came out. Now, it is no longer considered a PlayStation exclusive, which to me is interesting because it tells me that, hey, Kojima is trying to expand the reach of this game. You know, who knows what the contract is, the agreements and all that. Sure, it's going to be on PlayStation day one. Obviously, I know a lot of people are going to pick it up there. But this also tells me we're going to get a PC version of that game. I don't think it'll be on Xbox day one, but I do think we'll see it on PC. And it just makes a lot of sense. Why would you not expand this into the PC community and just have it just on the PlayStation 4? So I'm actually happy to see this. I'm happy for the PC community. So now if I do pick up Death Stranding, it won't be on the PlayStation. It'll most likely be on PC. But I still don't know what the game is. I really hope Kojima at Gamescom gives us more information on what the gameplay loop's going to be like, more information on the story, things like that. But this is classic Kojima. This is what he does. So like I said, Gamescom, we'll definitely have to see what all the information is going to be about this. You know, is it really going to be on PC? could there be the shocker of all shocks and it comes to Xbox day one as well? That I doubt. I just think what this means is we'll get it on PlayStation day one, we'll get it on PC day one, and there'll probably be some timed console exclusive around it. Maybe a year from now, it'll come to Xbox, which would make sense, because I guarantee you Death Stranding, when the new consoles come out, is going to have a quote-unquote enhanced version that comes along with it. So excited to see what that information is going to be at Gamescom. I said that was the last thing, but I lied. So one more thing. Anthem. You guys know my skepticism with Anthem that has gone on for a long time. I full disclosure, EA and BioWare had me come out and playtest Anthem October of last year. If you go to the credits of the game, you'll see my name in the credits. I'm of this, and I say this about a lot of things. You know, you can be critical of the things that you love, right? And I've been very critical of Anthem because I see the potential of what that game should be. And it's unfortunate that they launched it when they did and it never reached that potential. I'm saying all this because, just as we talked about No Man's Sky earlier, they're going to get it fixed eventually. And I think we're seeing the first steps toward that. There was a new update that just came out, which is really fleshing out the game more. They're getting into the catalyst stuff, you know, better mission structure, things like that. So we're starting to get there. I truly think we're still a good year away. I really do. I think we'll look early 2020 and we're going to see a version of Anthem that's going to be pretty freaking good. And I'm going to go revisit Anthem. I'm not going to promise I'm going to do it right now, but I can see in the next few months that I'm going to reinstall it. I'm going to go check it out and just see where the game is. And like I said, I think early 2020, we're going to get to that point where Anthem is going to be at a place where it's going to be very playable and it's going to be something people will enjoy. But, you know, when I actually talked about this on DLC with Jeff and Spicer, we're in this era right now where it's not acceptable, but it's just something that we're living with, where games are coming out incomplete and then they're taking 6 months to a year or even a couple years to actually get them fixed. Unacceptable to me. You have to vote with your wallet. You can't let these publishers and developers do this. I mean, I just think, hey, if a game's not ready, it's not ready. And I know there's a lot of financial pressure, you know, corporate pressure that's coming to get a game out on a certain release date and a certain quarter, things like that. But you're hurting the game by bringing it out too early. You know, no one talks positively about Anthem. No Man's Sky, as an example, no one was talking positive about that game for years. I mean, look at the roller coaster that Destiny is on. Look at where the Division 2 is right now. You know, as an example, I would rather a game get delayed. And Miyamoto has the great quote, and I'll screw it up, so I'm not even going to attempt it. But basically, a rush game is forever bad, is something like the quote goes, right? I would rather see it be delayed so they could get it right than to just rush it out to meet a financial deadline. And then, you know, there might be this initial rush to go out and get the game, but then we're all on social media complaining about it all the time, right? I would rather a game get delayed 6 months, comes out, is amazing, is content complete, feature rich, very balanced. We're having a lot of fun with it. No game will be perfect, obviously, but get it to as close as you possibly can to your original vision before you actually put it out, so you're not scrambling and apologizing for the next six months to a year about how you're going to get it right and the lessons learned and the feedback and all this stuff. Get it right. I'd rather you're delayed and get it right at its initial launch than launch it and have to scramble the entire time and you're just continually playing catch up. So that's just my thought on that. I just want to bring up Anthem because, like I said, I know I've been very critical of it, but I do want to give it another chance. And final thing for me before we get out of here, I also want to say, you know, as far as game comms go, you know, I talked about this with Danny on last episode, but it's such an amazing opportunity that I get to go. I'm really looking forward to it. Just the thing, the interviews that I'm going to be able to get, just the content that I'll be able to see. I'm very excited for it. Just as an example, I got some stuff. Well, again, I'm not going to give it up. I got a couple things cooking. I probably shouldn't say. I'll probably jinx it if I actually say it. But I got a couple great opportunities happening at Gamescom that I'm really looking forward to. And I just want to say thank you to all the publishers and the people in PR that are helping to make this happen. It was just an amazing thing that I started saying, hey, I'm going to Gamescom. And I had a bunch of people reach out to me and personally invite me to go check out a few things. So very humbled by that, very honored by that. And I'm really looking forward to this trip, because as a matter of fact, a week from now, like this time next week, I will be in Germany, which just blows my mind how quickly time is flying. But I'll be over there. Obviously, I'm sure I'll be on social media tweeting out stuff, pictures, whatever. And then, like I said, we'll figure out the release schedule for some of this content that I'm going to be able to get. At a minimum, I'll have audio. We'll see about video. Still trying to figure that out, how I'm going to do it. I'm going to bring my stuff. But I have absolutely no idea what the layout's going to be like. Never been there. So we'll see with that stuff. But like I said, just again, thank you to everyone that made it happen for me to go to Gamescom. And everyone listening to this and watching on Twitch, let me tell you, you are the main reason why I'm going to be able to do this. Because if it wasn't for all the support that the GTR community gives us, we would not be getting these opportunities to be able to attend these type of events. So again, thank you everyone that has been supporting this podcast over the past, 2005. I can't do math. Is that 14 years? It's 14 years, right? So over the past 14 years, it's just been amazing what Danny has been able to build with this podcast and this community, and just all the people over the years that have been a part of GTR. There's just way too many to name, but you guys know who you are, and you all played a part in this. And the fact that I'm here now by myself on Gamertag Radio talking to you guys right now is quite humbling in itself, because I was a listener all those years ago, and I only dreamed of being able to do my own podcast and be able to, you know, attend some of these events. And, you know, now that it's happening, it's just an amazing thing. So I think that's all I got for this episode. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I have no idea how long I've been talking, because I just hit record and I just start talking. But I hope this was intriguing. I hope you guys enjoyed this. So I think that's it. I'm going to stop talking now, because I talk too much. I like to talk a lot. Oh, I'll say one last thing. I got a couple shout outs. Again, I shout out DLC. I want to also shout out the Rad Gaming podcast. They had me on recently, and I told some old war stories on their podcast, and they're a newer podcast that's just starting out. And I was just kind of just telling them my journey, just like I said, the old war stories, myself and Danny over the years attending these events, and just kind of how, you know, how we approach content creation, you know. And like I said it on the Daily Conversation on the last episode, Danny helped me all those years ago. And if I can help anyone that wants to get into this crazy gaming industry with any advice or tips, absolutely pay it forward. So anytime anyone listening to this right now, if you ever got a question about podcasting or editing or just anything, you know, trying to attend an event, whatever the case may be, you know, hit me up on Twitter. Absolutely. Hit me up, slide in my DMs, ask me a question. I have no problem answering that and trying to help out. So, shameless plug, check out my YouTube channel as well. I actually hit a personal milestone on my YouTube channel, and it's just amazing to see this tiny thing starting to grow as I expand my reach into actual video content as well. I definitely have some plans for some things as we go into the holiday on the video side, and I'll be putting all that over on my YouTube channel. And for the people that are watching this on Twitch right now, I'm definitely going to be stepping up my game and streaming some stuff here on Twitch, especially once I get back from Germany. I didn't want to start it now, and then I'm going to, you know, be gone for like basically a week and a half in Germany. So after Germany, I definitely have some plans to be streaming some things here on the Twitch channel as well. Like I said, I'll have some stuff on the YouTube channel. Obviously, the podcast is still going to be doing its thing. We got a lot of stuff going on. How I'm going to figure it all out, I don't know, but we will. And that's the beauty of all this stuff. So I'm going to stop talking. Thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of Gamertag Radio. I'm Paris. We will see you guys soon.